Good morning. We want to continue in the book of James this morning. Last week we looked at the first six verses in chapter 5, and this week we want to continue and look at verses 7 through 11. But we'll read from verses 1 through 11. This is God's Word. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Thus far the reading of God's Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that you have given us your Word, that we may learn of you and of your ways. And we ask now that you would make us doers of your Word. We pray that you would refine our hearts and our minds, that you would be honored and glorified through our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a rare opportunity to be able to go 2 weeks in a row. Last week, we had a look at the first six verses of chapter 5, and it was a fairly hefty rebuke by James, warning against those that were wealthy that they not take advantage and oppress those that were of lesser stature and abuse their privilege, and in so doing actually put themselves in jeopardy. Well, it seems that here now James turns from that rebuke of those that are wealthy and abusive, and he turns his attention to those that, instead of taking advantage, are taken advantage of. James warns the abusive rich, in one sense, and now it's as if he's refocusing that attention and he's focusing it on his brethren to encourage and comfort the faithful but abused. And as we've heard over and over again while we've gone through James, James is all about living rightly, about doing rightly. And so the words of encouragement are another lesson in doing rightly, in responding rightly, even when life gets tough for those who are faithful. And as we'll see, the response that James is after is not like the world around us. It's not a short-tempered impatience, a seeking after getting my own way, of grumbling, knowing that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. That's not what James says is in our best interest. And as we look at these few verses from 7 to 11, we notice that four times James uses one form or another of patient, of the word patient. And twice he uses a form of perseverance. And that's why I titled this morning's sermon, Patient Perseverance. And so if you want a theme to hang your hat on, James exhorts his readers to be patient and persevere until the Lord returns. Let me make that more personal. James exhorts us to be patient and to persevere until the Lord returns. And as I was reflecting on this, and understanding that James is all about doing, I started trying to think of ways of how we could make this a doing thing. And so I want us to consider four verbs that we can use to practice to get to the place where James is exhorting us to be. The first is await. The second is acknowledge. The third is acquire. And the fourth is accept. So, kids, here, this is the four A's sermon. Something for you to remember as you're going away later. In the first place, I want us to look at the verb await. Await the Lord's coming. And as we consider acknowledge, acknowledge the Lord's judgment. And as we look at acquire, acquire from the Lord's servants, and accept, accept the Lord's blessings. So James exhorts us to be patient and persevere until the Lord returns. In the first place, await the Lord's coming. What do you think of when somebody tells you, just wait? Is that an easy thing to do? We live in a time and an age, and probably it's been that way in many situations before, but we live within a society that instant gratification is the way to go. Can you remember how you survived without a cell phone? We all worked and lived and ate and slept without them just fine. It's not uncommon to be driving down the road and you see someone step out of their house and head toward their car, and already they're on their phone. And they get in their car and they start it up and they're not off the phone. We can't seem to get away from it. I think it's a sign of impatience. The internet is a great tool, as is the cell phone, but I think it's another sign of impatience sometimes in our lives. And James gives us perspective. He says, wait. How? Patiently. Often I have heard, and I'm sure you have too, when someone runs into a snag and they lose control, even if sometimes it's ourselves, I just don't have patience. Not for this. At which point we need to reflect and ask ourselves, where in Scripture does it say that we're all born with a lot of patience? Patience is something that we need to learn. Patience is something that we need to look to the Lord for, because the Scripture describes God as being long-suffering. being patient toward us. And James gives us a wider perspective, saying, be patient until the coming of the Lord. How long? It's a long time. We ought to hope. We ought to be looking forward to the Lord's return. And James is telling us, it's going to take a long time. So, you have a lifetime to learn how to be patient for eternity. Start practicing today. And James gives us an example of a farmer. Now, we live in a land where there's farmers. We live in the prairies, so there's farmers. And it's interesting to note James' perspective on the farmers that he's thinking of, and I often hear, well, there's never enough rain, or there's too much rain, or there's always a problem. But the farmer that James is talking about has patience, because he knows that's out of his control. And he says he waits for the former and latter rains. And if we're talking about that part of the world that they were living in at that time, their season, growing season, is opposite of ours. They get their first rains in the fall, not in the spring. And they get their latter rains in the spring, which is their harvest. But the wise farmer knows that he accepts these blessings, but then he has to wait patiently as the Lord grows the crop that he can then harvest when it is time. Waiting patiently. In the same way, James tells us, you also be patient. As you're waiting for the coming of the Lord, no matter what situation comes into your life, no matter how pressing, no matter if you are in dire straits, there is a hope. Harvest will come in the day of the Lord's return. So like the farmer, wait patiently. Don't be impatient. For the coming of the Lord is at hand, or is near. It's a hope that each generation has in waiting for the Lord. And we can hope too. We need to hope too. And we need to understand that as Christ has done His work upon the cross, that He is near at hand. He said He would never leave us. And so when He says that He will return, we believe. And we learn to wait patiently, even through life's hard times. So that's the first thing that we can practice. The second is to acknowledge the Lord's judgment. One of the things that often comes with impatience is opening your mouth and saying stuff that really ought not to come out. And we have that ability as people, each one of us. And we even reflect it in some of our, you know, glib sayings. What about, if mama ain't happy, nobody ain't happy. What's that talking about? I mean, fathers, husbands, how many days have been a hard day at work, and you come home and they may not have anything to do with your hard day, but family pays the price for your impatience because things got tough. Kids, How many times have you been having a bad day at school? Or you've been disciplined by mom and dad? And so you're tempted, if you're not caught in time, to take it out on your siblings. Misery likes company. So if I'm miserable, somebody else is going to be miserable too. James writes, "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." And even as Christians, we need to understand, yes, we are spared being cast into eternal fire, but we will be judged. Now, this is both a negative and a positive encouragement. Negative because we need to be careful what we say, there's a price, but positive because sometimes we need a negative feedback in order for us to respond positively with our actions. Understand that even the greatest among us can get caught up in this. Take, for instance, Moses. He was forced to wander around in the desert for 40 years listening to a whole group of people grumble. Couldn't be a lot of fun. Pretty stressful at times. He's described as the greatest prophet. And yet, because of who he was, Moses, like the children of Israel, paid for his grumbling at one point, his impatience. He got angry with them for their grumbling and didn't carry out the word of the Lord the way that he should have. And his salvation was not threatened. But God said, "You will only look across and see the land that someone else is going to lead the people into." So there was a price to pay. So we need to remind ourselves that there is a judgment. Don't be grumblers. Grumblers are rewarded by God's judgment. Rather, be patient and bless one another in God's name. So secondly, we need to acknowledge. Let's practice that. Thirdly, we need to acquire. We need to acquire from the Lord's servants. If you read in verses 10 and 11, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord." We need to acquire those characteristics of those who are faithful servants of the Lord. And there are many examples in Scripture of prophets and servants who have patiently endured, who have persevered. Think of Elijah and all the fun that he had with Ahab and Jezebel. Think of Jeremiah, who we call the weeping prophet. Think of Hosea, who didn't have the best marriage in the world. Think of Daniel, who was taken into captivity, patiently bore the tribulation that was sent upon him. At one point, thrown into the lion's den a wonderful story that we tell our children, to see God's hand at work. But it's a picture of patience and perseverance that not only saved him, but was a testimony that brought this people that were his captors into submission for God for a time of history. Think of a little slave girl who said to her master's mistress, "Well, if he would only go to the prophet in Israel, my God can heal him." And Naaman did, and met the one and true God. These are people that we need to learn from. Read through Hebrews 11 and the list of things that people have gone through, and they patiently persevere. And James gives us a specific example of Job, who persevered. We have there in Job times when, in spite of the fact that it seems that he was perhaps impatient, he did curse the day that he was born. He did get a little short-tempered with his long-winded friends. But it also says that in all that he said, he didn't sin. He may have been impatient, and some people point that out, but the fact of the matter is, Job persevered because he knew where his hope was. And it wasn't in himself. It wasn't in the belongings that he had possessed. It wasn't in his family. It wasn't in his circumstance. It was in his God. And so he could faithfully persevere. And when you read that list in Hebrews 11, and you go into chapter 12 where the writer of Hebrews tells people to keep on running, one of the things he says is, we have a great cloud of witnesses who have gone before. Since God created the world, there has always been a faithful remnant from one generation to the next. And our great hope is that we can look to Christ's return, and we can tell our children to look to Christ's return, because therein lies our hope. And so we can teach them to wait patiently and to persevere. Wait patiently doesn't mean that we sit back and do nothing. At times, that's a temptation. Maybe for some of us it's more than for others. We're built differently. Some people are busybodies, and they got to be running around doing stuff all the time, or they don't feel like they're accomplishing anything. Others of us, well, we tend to relax a little more. Takes us a little longer to get excited. But that can be a problem too, because perhaps I can confuse my lack of activity as being patient. And it's not. What James is describing is an active lifestyle. Lastly, I want us to consider the verb accept. Accept the Lord's blessings. James closes verse 11 with this phrase, the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. The Lord is very compassionate and merciful. God is full of compassion. And we need to remind ourselves of God's blessings in our lives. We need to accept God's work in our lives. Because if I go about my life and I act out my life impatiently and I'm a grumbler, then am I really accepting God at His Word? Am I really accepting the Lord's blessings? On occasion, we read from the Ten Commandments and we teach them to our children. I want to remind us of a little portion there. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. James is exhorting us to be faithful to this God who is described as merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. It's a command, really, if you want to think about it in those terms. We are commanded to be patient. We are commanded to persevere. And if we accept God at His Word, then we accept that He will bless His people to thousands of generations, to those who carry out His commands. Wherein lies our hope? It's not in our circumstance. It's not in our situation. It's not in our money, our possessions, or our lack of them when times get tough. It's not in being persecuted for our faith. Our hope is in our Lord, because He is full of compassion and He is merciful toward us. Amen.